There are certain moments and words that shaped a new era in pro wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Brett screwed Brett.
Die, Rocky, die.
Introducing the Book of Wrestling, 25 catchphrases that explain the Attitude Era. Tune in as we relive one of the most exciting, intense, and over-the-top times in WWE with new interviews with the voices that made the promos, calls, and catchphrases into history. Listen now.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, presenting an all-new Star Wars series, The Acolyte. Stream the two-episode premiere June 4th and witness an investigation into a shocking crime spree where secrets will emerge. And no one is safe from the truth. The Acolyte, two-episode premiere, streaming June 4th, only on Disney+.
This is why we can't have nice things.
He's going to leave it on all episodes. So many people have left.
You want to talk over it? That's what's going to happen.
Oh, I hit the button. That's my first time hitting the soundboard. All right. If you're tuning in still, you're like, why is Mike so excited? Because we just taped a 40-minute intro or a 30-minute interview with Chris from Card Ladder. We talked about the market, and I am at the bottom of my monster can. That's why I'm so pumped.
And we talked about the Illuminati, which is...
Oh, yeah. Here's the name of the episode. We hate kids and influencers. That's the name of the episode.
Tune in for that Card Ladder
for that
segment.
We're going to plug the Card Ladder thing in after this opening. So we're going to do our quick open. We're not going to do the full intro rundown or anything. We're just going to go quick open, right to Chris, and we'll jump to mailbag.
I can tell I wouldn't even have time to fit it in with the energy going through your brain. So let's do it.
We do, though. Poor planning on my part.
Oh, God.
On what?
I don't know what's happening. You're throwing a curveball.
One of the big things I wanted to do today was the MLB 2022 wax breakdown. We don't have time to do that.
Who's got the time?
On Monday, that is happening. I know we have Chris.
We don't have a guest. No, we do have
Chris Costa. That's fine. We can still do this. So we'll do that on Monday. We'll get into all the products coming up for the next few months. We're going to kind of review.
Okay.
Here's what to look for. Here's rookies we're expecting in some of those products. Here's prospects we're expecting as well. But we really hit heavy on the MLB market and the impact on the first couple weeks of the season, first week of the season, and the NBA playoffs starting. So things like that. Also some other areas like Chris. That's why I like having Chris on. He's very knowledgeable.
I do appreciate that. Even if he doesn't know much about the hobby, he seems to know a little bit about everything.
You mean about the sport?
Or about the sport of baseball. Sorry. He knows everything about the hobby.
Don't you ever talk about that again. cut the open.
Just cut all of this.
So we'll do that for sure. There's no really intriguing releases to me coming out tomorrow. So I was just going to kind of roll the whole wax thing into that.
Oh, you didn't care about the Topps Chrome Overtime Elite? That's another thing.
That basketball, I don't know what to make of that. And I don't really know anything about those kids. So
okay.
There's a little bit of hype. I just want to hit a couple show notes to start. And then I think we can just go right to the play the Chris interview.
But what about the Donruss? I thought you'd be interested in the hobby box, like the NASCAR, the Panini Donruss Racing.
They drive in circles. I mean,
I'm just kind of surprised that that's not more of a thing because everything else has been a thing. You know what I mean? Like WWE, all these
That's
sports.
Fair. So NASCAR though has been around quite a bit more than the other sports you're talking about. So that's why that particular release, not interested.
Not as interested.
National Treasures, sure. I actually have a case of National Treasures at the house of NASCAR from this year. I'll rip. Not as much of a thing.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
There's also a UEFA.
There is
soccer release. I don't think that's really a highly
Champions League soccer. Yeah. Okay. But you don't think that if it's not as talked about in your circles, which I trust your opinion.
Yeah. I just kind of am like, it's fine.
If we're not going to talk about that, there was one thing I was going to mention was, so guys, if you're not already familiar and you're not subscribed,
this is a pitch.
Go to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube page. There, we talk about an item from Golden's auction that, whether they were a sponsor or not, I would think this is very interesting. The Jackie Robinson game used jersey. So we had on Sue's from Golden. She said it was going to be worth its starting bid was $2 million. It just started yesterday, I guess. She thinks it could be their most expensive item of all time.
Anybody's. The most expensive memorabilia piece, period. Not just Golden's.
So check out the YouTube. I think it's very fascinating. I looked at it this morning. It was at 2.2 million because, again, bidding just started yesterday.
Bid 2.5 on that just to say we were the high bidder.
It just went to 2.3 in like the last hour or two. So just kind of crazy that anything could go for that much memorability.
We also ripped a box of brand new WWE Prism.
Oh, yeah, we did really,
Did you update our Capital Nonsense segment there?
Hey, let's go ahead and tell the people, what are we doing with $600?
Yeah, so really quick, one thing we've been doing on the YouTube show, which I do want to kind of tie in here too, we rip a box, like, hey, this is what it costs us, fair market value. This is what we're going to grade out of it. This is what we've sold. This is how much it costs to grade. We literally have a running spreadsheet of profits and losses now.
As someone new to the hobby, or if you've been in it for a while, I love that we do this segment because it's like, if I want to get into this hobby and I want to try and make a little money on a side hustle, this is essentially what we're trying to depict is like, how do you make
realistically, what is like the reality of ripping wax?
And
that's, we're down big
so
right
far
now.
We're down, but we've only done four boxes,
which is to be expected. That's fine.
The WWE, check it out. See how we did.
I have a couple interesting sales. So just to talk, this is actually all I want to do. I had some buying and selling activity this week.
Okay.
And since it was public on Facebook, I want to talk about it real quick. So I had a box of 2020. I don't know if it's 21 or 22. I'm guessing it's 22 Topps Chrome F1. And I had a box of Topps Chrome F1. I think it's called Light. I don't know. I ripped them both last week on Instagram and then literally forgot about them. I traveled out of town with my wife for a wedding, came back. I sold the lot of those cards well under comps, by the way. I put it up as a blind lot. I sold it for $1,000. I don't know who Sergio Perez is. It was one auto of his and it was worth like $800. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton cards, Max Verstappen.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are some people who think like F1 was like a 1 year thing or that it's just being hyped. I don't really know. But F1 is like ridiculous. I was so shocked. So I sold that. I also ripped a little bit of 2021-2022 Prism Draft Basketball because Prism's a couple months off. So it's all collegiate uniform.
Mm-hmm.
In one pack this morning that I ripped, though, I actually sold this as well on Facebook. I pulled a stained glass Anthony Davis. It's like a $50 to $60 card.
Mm-hmm.
And a blue Scotty Barnes auto. Now, Scotty Barnes is a top five seller this year.
Yeah.
I realistically was like, oh, this might be $100. It was numbered to 45.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $300 to $350.
Scotty Barnes is becoming more and more talked about, I feel like. I keep hearing more.
Yeah, he's playing great. He's playing good. So, but here's what was funny. So that's a product traditionally that gets crapped on every year because it's college, but it usually comes out so early, it doesn't matter. I think it might have a little bit more staying power this year because there's not a ton of pro stuff coming out.
Oh, okay.
The fact that that card is selling like that, though, is beyond me. I sold it immediately because I think eventually there's probably a drop on that. Like I would say you probably want to move off that somewhat quick, but maybe not. Maybe it's worth grading this year.
Interesting.
Anyways, so those were a couple sales. And then I did do a couple, I made a couple nice buys. So I bought a rookie year Optic Contenders, Ja Morant Auto. I forget the name of the insert. It's a refractor insert. It was numbered to 150. It's a PSA 10.
Mm-hmm.
I spent $1,300. So right about the going rate, I paid a little bit more than the last one because the last one sold a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, they're heading into the playoffs. And I said I wanted to buy one nice jaw on the last show. That was the one nice jaw I bought. Randomly then, I also came across a Bill Russell Prism Gold. So it's number to 10. It's a PSA 10. I think I got, and the comps don't justify in my head what I think this card is worth. I think it's 2015. I believe I told Chris in the recorded interview 2013. 2015 Prism Gold Bill Russell PSA 10. I don't understand it. I paid $1,100. $1,000 or $1,100. I have to check.
Okay.
There is such a disconnect. And we talked, I'm glad Chris brought this up because we talked about like the Moses Malone and like how some of these other guys, Griffey, some of these all-time greats are just not nearly as appreciated. Like if that was a second year, I mean, forget rookie. Like if that's a second year Luka,
yeah,
it's worth 10 times that. Bill Russell's probably a top five guy for most people. Worst top 10.
Yep.
It's like the third year of Prism and it costs I just don't get it, man. So I'm going to hold the card while it's really cool. I think at some point that's probably a $5,000 card.
Where was it in the grand scheme of like value over time? Is it pretty much at the lowest it's been?
No. It has doubled since the first couple of sales a few years ago, but the whole market is more than doubled. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I actually want to do this live too.
Hey, before we move on too far, I am curious because So a couple guys wanted to know like how they were going to win the WWE cards, because we didn't really think that out well when we talked about it on last week's or on Monday's episode. We said,
oh,
this was going to be a giveaway. And then we realized, oh, well, we were going to do this for Capital Nonsense. And
let me explain Capital Nonsense.
Yeah, though. It's not really a giveaway.
So Capital Nonsense, what we've been doing, because a lot of those boxes are the ones that Panini gives us for free. So first of all, to be entered in almost all the giveaways, you have to have a Panini direct account. And if you're buying packs and showing us that, it helps. Like, it improves your chances, because we're really trying to help and push the NFT thing because we've got involved there with Panini. For Capital Nonsense, though, what we've done is we're taking all the money at the end of, we're probably going to run it in like a 3-month segment, because by then we'll have our cards back from Grading Wheels, and then we're just going to buy other stuff or just give away cash with the money we make with the proceeds from the boxes. I'm not giving it all away because some of these boxes I paid for and I'm paying for the grading, but the majority, I would say, of that money, we are just going to give away. So the giveaway is not week by week, you get these particular cards. The giveaway is, hey, at the end of 3 months, here's the tally of our sheet. This is what we bought, sold, updated. And we've shown the sheet every show. That's how that will come into play more than anything.
I do want to figure that out too, because it's like, at this point we are negative 1500. Are we, how do we
do that? Anything we've getting, we get back.
Yeah.
Is money in the bank. I'm going to take out a chunk of what I'm owed, but yeah, then we're just going to give it away.
Okay.
So yeah, there's ways to do it. Not the end of the world.
I just want to make sure the guys are getting in on it. If we can, and at least they have clarification of
like, yeah, and that's the other thing I would say. Some guys too, like, if your first comment in one of the Facebook groups, by the way, is, hey, how do I win something? I'm never giving something to anybody who just like comes out of nowhere like that. Like, support the show, go watch YouTube and drop a comment. Like, then maybe we'll give you something. Like, I have no use for those people. Annoyed me this week.
I do agree to that. The thing is, unfortunately, sometimes they do get stuff because it's random, but
no, never again. By the way, I was trying to find like stuff that I could actually base this on. A PSA 9 Grant Hill Gold Prism from the same year sold for $400, which means a PSA 10 is probably worth well over $1,000. I don't know how I got the bill. I was very happy to get the Bill Russell for that price. I think I got an absolute steal on the card. I just put in like 2015 Gold Prism PSA 10s just to see who else from that era had sold. I mean, again, this isn't a super great comp, but it's from the Fireworks set. So it's an insert set, gold number to 10. It's a LeBron. It's a PSA 10, but it's not the base like my Bill Russell.
Yeah.
The LeBron sold for $6,500. Like, so the base version is probably 15 to 20.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Anyways, I'm done.
Talk a little bit about that too in the segment with Chris. So
yep, we get more into that.
All right.
I really wanted to rip this box Clearly Authentic.
We do need to get to mailbag before too long. How long? Oh, yeah. We're at 50 minutes. You're good.
So this is a product. I have a couple cases of this stuff put away. Give me the knife right now.
You, I like ripping it away from you.
I like ripping wax in here because I think it's fun sometimes.
I think it's fun for the people to hear it.
Yeah. So this is 2022. Nope. 2021. Clearly Don Russ. Pull up on Blowout what this stuff is actually selling for right now, please.
2021. Clearly Don Russ.
Yep. First year of football. Obviously, it's the crazy savage class of Mac, Trevor, all the guys.
Wait, are we giving this away to anybody or what are we doing with this?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that yet because I bought cases and I bought boxes of this. So I don't want to just
give. This is going for $400. Dang.
I still think this is one. I'm going to shut my sound off on the podcast. This is just a random plug. And yes, I think I have 3 cases, not 2. How this stuff is $400 a box. Put in 2021 football and just give me the pricing of some other hobby boxes, please, while I open this. And do me a favor and mute my mic because I'm going to open these packs real quick.
He's muted. All right. So we're going to a Blowout just to check pricing for 2021 football NFL box. Let's hobby box. All right. So in comparison, let's see. Panini. Oh, yep. And you're back.
This is just a side point because I've been talking so well about Clearly. $400 a box for this. Give me just some, Jesse doesn't know most of these products. So just give me 2021 football hobby boxes.
Panini Donruss football hobby box, $500.
Okay. Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, you get all the base, but okay, $500.
Insane. Panini certified football hobby box, $600.
That's even more egregious. That is 50% more than this.
Mosaic.
Well, Mosaic's more expensive.
$740.
Yeah, that's. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
It shouldn't be 2-to-1, but I'm okay with that pricing.
Those were the first ones that came up. I'd have to do a little more digging through.
This is not just a whole sheet of them?
Panini black football.
This, I would rather have this than black. What's black?
$684.
I don't know why. I don't know if it was the timing because it came out so late. The other thing I would tell you, go look at the inaugural year of stuff, like first year Prism, first year Mosaic, first year anything. This is not on those levels, but I do. I'm keeping those cases sealed for a while. I think those are going to be huge at some point. And okay. Next year's football, by the way, here's a little note. Next year's draft class is super weak. I think it's going to really struggle hobby-wise. I would say load up on 2020 and 2021. I think that is your best bet.
I hope Matt Corral does well, because then we can finally show that interview. That
Aiden Hutchinson is probably going to be the first pick, by the way.
Oh, well, there you go. We also interviewed him.
All right, so we got a couple. I'm just going to read this. You can't see it. A couple. So we got Austin Eckler, Antonio Gibson, just base cards. Oh, this is the kid who actually had a good season, the wide receiver Saint Brown for the Lions.
That's a nice card. Okay.
Check it up if you want
to. We get one auto through in this, right?
Yep. Najee Harris, rookie. Anthony Schwartz, rookie. Patty Mahomes, base. DJ Metcalf, base. So the auto is not terrible. I mean, I actually liked this guy early in the season. He didn't pan out. Number 299, Rondale Moore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we did get a Mac Jones rookie as well. Quiddy Pay rookie. I like that name. Jared Goff base, Corey Davis base. I like this card too. It's like a yellow insert. 2001 throwback of Terry Bradshaw. Michael Carter and Smith Marset rookies. A couple more base. We're just about done, by the way. Take it easy. Tutu Atwell gold rookie. Those are not
as long as you recognize that this is not always the best option.
Jalen Waddle and Ramondre Stevenson, the rookie running back for the Patriots. Okay, so we didn't do great.
Rondale Moore auto in that product.
To 99.
Oh, to 99?
$25, I'm going to guess.
Out of 99. 25. Well, the non out of 99 did 10. This does 30.
Oh, $30. What's the Mac Jones rookie do?
Well, let me tell you. It's not an auto or anything, right?
No, just a base rookie. I'm setting up the SGC probably. We'll see.
Mac Jonesy. Mac Jones in that product. $22.
Raw?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll SGC that card and see what happens. Jalen Watt. Okay, anyways, it's a cool little... I like the product. It's a full acetate product. It looks good. I like it.
Acetate, for anyone who doesn't know, because I do, means that it's...
It's like the plastic, the clear...
Oh, it's like clear. You can see through it. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Put this in here, too. Just put in Terry Bradshaw out of curiosity. I'm just curious if this insert has any weight. This is based on the 2020, on the 2001 Don Russ.
Ooh.
$4.
No, you were high. $1.76.
For that card.
For that card. Yep.
Shame. Still gets a top loader, Terry.
But it's pretty good. Mailbag time?
Yeah, let's go to mailbag. I had fun doing that. I'm going to look up the other two in my spare time because I'm sure Najee Harris is $5 to $10.
Okay, let's hit mailbag and we're going to go to...
We're doing the interview first. Oh, yeah.
Let's
intro,
go ahead.
Intro, boom, done.
Chris from Card Letter.
Here's your open for the show. I just did a great opening and Jesse didn't record it, so he can go.
I think your words were, and now guys, and then I told you to stop.
You think so. I talk for free, buddy? Hit.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
And the dog's face is just...
That's what you get for you.
All right. I'm here, obviously. Oh, then we're putting this in the middle of the show.
Yeah,
you already know we're here.
We're here.
So Chris is here. I called Chris Christmas, and I called Chris with a K today. Now he's just Chris from Card Letter. CC wearing a blue hoodie.
How are you, Chris?
Doing well. Just bringing Christmas to
in April
to the show in April.
Sure. So clean shaven.
Many gifts of knowledge.
Who's on your shirt? Is that Kobe?
On my shirt is Luka Doncic.
Oh,
his
God.
Prism 2018 rookie.
I see it now.
You and Christina, is it fair to say obsessed with Luka, or is that just my words?
Oh, where would you get that impression? I can't stand Luka.
I don't know what
how about
to believe
that,
anymore.
How about that calf, though?
is he coming back?
Move on. Next topic.
Next topic. You know what? We're actually following your lead here. It was a couple things we want to talk about. MLB.
So wait, let's tell the folks we brought Chris on because it's market update month, weekday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the other plug. Cardladder.com. No, sportscardsnonsense.com.
Bam.
Get the link there. You can get a
card
discount,
services.
Which is still, I think, exclusive to us.
15% discount.
Even if it's not exclusive, we're just going to say it is because it sounds better.
It does.
I'm pretty sure we still make a piece off that. So you're putting money in everybody's pocket if you do that.
And your own, because you're going to be a smarter investor when you're using their
app. We're not going to read the two mailbag questions. Best place to check comps on stuff. Just go to Card Ladder Sales History because it pulls from every single selling platform out there. So there's your pitch.
There's your plug.
I've set the table.
Well done.
Feast.
Time to eat.
So yeah, we want to talk MLB, NBA, and then maybe get Chris angry about Marvel.
Oh, great. And kids.
Don't forget
about
kids.
We hate Marvel, we hate kids, but we like the NBA. That's fair to say.
That's right.
I don't have any kids. I don't
MLB.
Care.
I really appreciate you guys continuing to ask me to talk about baseball, even though I know very little
you
about
hate
the sport
it.
And its current iteration. But I did look up that opening day was April 7th. Can we confirm?
We can confirm.
So far, so good. This is good.
I have no idea. Yep. That's confirmed.
I know Vladdy, as he's called.
Oh, boy.
This is
hit
getting
three
rough.
Home runs last night.
Is that after right? Having his hand stomped
on.
Did you see this? He didn't see it.
No.
I heard
about
it
from our dear friend Carvin.
Oh, it was a 9-minute story to tell you his hand got stepped on. There's the story. I just summed it up for you. Yep.
That's great.
Vladdy is up 33%. In the last 3 months, and he's probably going to see a pretty big bump over the next few days as well.
Wow.
But it's not just Vladdy. It's all the prospects. Rafael Devers is up 20%.
My boy.
Junior is up 20%. Gavin Lux is up 41%.
Okay, that's the biggest.
If you're a baseball. Yeah.
That's the biggest standout, by the way. The other three guys, everybody expected. Gavin Lux was like in the dumpster.
Yeah, well, he's turning things around. Basically, if you were a baseball prospect and you made a headline for one reason or another, your market went up significantly. Baseball is thriving. Baseball is like where basketball and football were 2 years ago and 1 year ago, respectively. It's hard to pick losers right now in the baseball market.
Can I ask you too, when you're getting your data that you're giving us now, is there an easy way to access like the prospects, or did you do some research and pull all this up beforehand?
Yeah, well, so anybody can do this. Took me just a couple minutes. I just went to Card Ladder. I went to the baseball card index and then I clicked on cards.
Oh, okay.
And it shows you all the baseball cards that have verified profiles in Card Ladder. And then I just changed the sort to quarterly percentage. And then
that's how. Okay. I was like, I know you're getting this data from the site. I just couldn't tell how. Quarterly percentage. Cool. All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So let me throw in this little caveat on those players then. I think Vlad is going to be an exciting buy all year. If you have money, 2016 Bowman Chrome, first prospect auto, through the roof, still a good buy at this point, just because of how significantly cheaper it is compared to Tatis, Acuna, Soto. I actually think he's being outsold by Wander still. I could be wrong. I have to double check the pricing on that. Pull that up.
You're talking about Vlad?
Yeah, 2016 Bowman Chrome.
2019, is that what you're?
2016 prospect, 9.5/10 auto. Wander's doing $2,000. The other guys, Tatis and Acuna, $3,000. Soto's like $4,500. So he is still crazy through the roof. But if you're going to buy 2016 first prospect, 2019 would be his rookie logo stuff. The top's chrome. I would still say stay away from the base. Go refractor or better. Gavin Lux is also 2016. He came out in draft. That's got to be dirt cheap stuff, though.
The 2016 Vlad prospects chrome PSA 10.
Auto
going for I'm sorry. This is not an auto. This is just the non. Let me pull off the
why
auto
are you
for
the
you.
Way you are? You know, we have company here, dude. Get your stuff together. God's sake.
Company.
Gavin Lux, by the way, 2020 on his rookie stuff. So 2016 Chrome prospect, first prospect stuff. 2020 for the rookie stuff.
Authentic auto.
Oh my God.
Went for $340.
Nope. That's okay.
No. It says the Bowman Chrome prospect.
Okay. It's not the card. It's fine. Authentic is a different thing.
Authentic.
Don't worry about it. You and Chris talk for a minute. I'm going to pull this up.
All right. Go ahead, Chris. You are popular. You're a fan of Vlad.
He's a fan of all baseball. We've established that.
Despite him.
I'm a fan of the category.
Despite the fact that he is already up, do you think he's still going to go up?
I do not have any knowledge of baseball or what this season's going to hold for these particular prospects. But looking at the macro, I see a lot of indicators suggesting that baseball cards in general are going to do quite well this year.
So okay. It's
going
to be like an all ships rise type of thing as the baseball market goes up.
Would not surprise me.
Okay.
Really quick, by the way. So the 9-5-10, that base prospect auto from 2016, I was way off. He's actually in the 23 to 2500 range. But that is still 20% below Tatis, Acuna, and I mean half the money of Soto. Like if the dude keeps hitting, again, you just look on paper, it would seem like that's... And I'm actually a big fan of Bo Bichette. I've been preaching about Bo all week, and I've been trying to buy Alex Bregman all week. I can't do it. Now, Rafael Devers is interesting. He's 2015. Rafael Devers, though, is dirt cheap. I am curious. So there's the prospect stuff. What about vet stuff? Vet, Hall of Fame, retired?
Yeah, so in terms of Hall of Fame caliber guys, Ken Griffey Jr.'s short prints and rare stuff from the 90s is going absolutely crazy right now. So last week on Golden, his 1998 Metal Universe PMG, which is numbered to 50, a BGS 8 sold for $46,000. Jeez. $46,000.
Do you have any idea the history of that card? Like prior sales?
Oh, yeah. So prior sales wise, there was... That card was selling in the $6,000 to $8,000 range about a year and a half ago.
So five to seven X.
Slight increase.
Grief.
It's pretty, and that was a BGS 8, right?
Which
and
is nothing.
There are some nines out there. It puts it, Griffey has been rapidly approaching parity with Kobe Bryant's, the equivalent Kobe Bryant cards from the 90s. So Kobe also has that same PMG championship card, but it's from 97 in basketball. Kobe's BGS 9 is worth around 100 to 120 grand right now.
Oh, for a nine though, you said, right?
For nine. So and the Griffey 8 did, 46. So what's a Griffey 9? Maybe 70, 75 perhaps.
So he's closing the gap on Kobe?
Yeah, it's closing the gap. Griffey 90s, super rare grail cards are rapidly catching up to Kobe's equivalent cards.
Which makes a lot of sense to me, quite just from a sports aspect. Like, I obviously born and raised in Boston, could not be geographically further in this country from Seattle. Griffey was my favorite player, my brother's favorite player.
Yep.
If you, we actually had a poll up a couple months ago in the Sports Cards Nonsense group. By far, the most collected, for personal collection's sake, Griffey ran away with it of any sport.
But doesn't need to be brought out, too, that he's also one of the most... populous of his cards. Like there's so many of them. He has one of the hugest pop counts, Griffey.
Oh, well, you're talking about his 89 upper deck, but that's why he's saying the 90s stuff. That's like rare.
That's that was not produced as, I guess, in great quantities.
He's only 50. He's only 50.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
PMG only has 50 copies.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. The PMGs are all.
I like counted. To see that. I mean, I've often thought there's a bunch of other, I'm curious. Oh, well, let me just, I keep interrupting you. I'm not going to stop that though. I think that's probably just going to be the theme today.
No, I think you should continue.
So Griffey is just rapidly,
man. And people had predicted this for a long time.
You predicted this last month on our show, by the way, interruption number two.
Yep.
People had said this. They've said there were icons from the 90s, Kobe, Jordan, Griffey. And they said Griffey just has not, his 90s iconic cards just haven't kept pace with the basketball stuff. That's changing as we speak. And then you also want to look at football too. Like, what about Barry Sanders? What about Jerry Rice? These guys also have iconic cards with analogs in basketball and baseball, like PMG champs out of 50 and stuff like that. And we just had a card ladder, a Jerry Rice PMG Championship PSA A5 sold for $30,000, which was an all-time high for any Jerry Rice PMG card.
Sheesh.
That was a private sale reported to us about a week ago. So like it's happening. Like in the, these, all these 90s icons are doing very well. And they're quickly catching up to the bar that was set by the their basketball counterparts.
Can we talk about PMG in general for a second? Because I feel like it's all I'm hearing about lately. In every different sport, in Marvel cards, of course, is kind of where I first was familiarized the most with it. But then I realized, oh, it's in basketball, it's baseball. What is this becoming like a new popular product, even though it's a older product?
Yeah.
Did you care about this, Chris? Let me ask you one quick question first. Did you, you were the same, you're 35, 36, right? Aren't we the same age?
I am.
He's looking around a lot.
35.
Okay, so same age. I was born
when
in
80. Was your birthday?
Oh, here we go.
July 10th, 1986.
Oldest in the room, suckers.
Dang it, I'm the youngest. I'm such a
big
baby
over there. I am curious, Chris, before you answer Jesse's question, PMGs meant nothing to me as a kid. And I was in my heyday. I was 11, 12, 13. I didn't care about them at all. And I also knew at the time, like those were kind of expensive, which is relative to the time they were expensive. Was that the same with you? Like these weren't a thing for us, right?
No, I mean, first of all, like we were kids. So these cards were a couple grand at the time.
Okay.
Oh, they were.
We weren't buying those, but, you know, the 97 PMG red and green, you know, now heralded as the best 90s basketball cards. When they first came out, you can go back and look at the Beckett basketball magazine that reviewed the product and mm-hmm. it gave it 2 out of 5 stars. And it said, this is okay. You know, it's kind of weird. All these animations on the drawings and stuff. So it was not, the reception was lukewarm, as they say.
The guy's not even a real doctor either. Okay. that's what I thought. I'm sorry. So Jesse, back to your question, but I just,
he is a doctor. He's a statistician.
God's sake. That's what I thought though. I was like, I don't remember this craze up until the past few years and now it's taken off.
Well,
what was your, so overall, why the craze?
Yeah. What's with the craze? Is it just strictly because people can go to this and say like, I don't have to wonder about pop counts anymore. I know that this is going to be out of this many and my investment is going to be pretty solidified if everyone else also thinks the same as me.
Well, that theory proved wrong when you look at the 2013 PMG Blue Captain America from PSA 8 went for $88,000 in February and then a different copy went for $22,000.
Look at the fingers. $22,000.
I mean, to be fair, $22,000 is still a lot of money for any card.
Right.
But yes. I agree. Yes, it has come down. It just makes me wonder, though, if we're talking about PMG for Marvel, now I've been hearing more of it, you know, being brought up for NBA.
Yep.
And now if we're thinking of it for MLB as well.
And football.
Yep. Is this going to be a direction you think will continue for a push in the hobby for guys looking for these specific cards?
For a period of time, it will be hyped, but once it reaches its ceiling, it'll cool off and it'll just be the real collectors left who want it.
Yeah.
So which still will be plenty of people, but you know, just a little tidbit on PMGs. They were originally designed by Gene and Earl of Arena Design.
Yep.
Right. So like you may have met them at the Mint Collective.
Is Gene a man or a woman?
No, that's the wife. It's the husband and wife team.
Gotcha.
And so she talked a little bit on one of Christina's panels at the Mint. And they did such amazing work. And it's a testament to the work that they did that card companies 20, 25 years later are still just taking their designs, just recycling them to make new issues of cards. So like these original 97 and 98 PMGs, these are the first ones. These are the originals, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball.
So in line with that too, then, because we talk so much about like, hey, new release, and we're going to do it today. We may have already done it. I don't know when we're putting this in the segment, nor do I care. But we're doing like a whole 2022 wax review of baseball, which I want to do. I think it's important. We're going to talk about NBA stuff because it's current. But like my contention for a while and stuff I've been chasing lately, like I'm just curious. And again, I know you don't do like the whole buy sell and I don't care to do that either. But like for me, early Brady stuff, like anything 2010 and before, I'm just like, this is the GOAT. Maybe somebody is greater than him at some point, but I don't think that person's been born yet. Like I just don't, nor will ever be born.
That's a not fair on this planet for NFL.
So I'm like, that seems like a good buy. Like you start talking to me about guys like Griffey, Like, I grew up with Griffey. Frank Thomas was like, which is still one of the most underrated guys. Even Pujols at the tail end. He was a little bit later, 2001. I look at those guys who are goated to a degree, which is a stupid made up word. And I'm just like, if I'm going to put money into stuff, like I bought a card this week, as a matter of fact. Now, it's obviously much newer, but 2013 Prism, it's a gold Bill Russell. Bill Russell, to me, it's a PSA 10. I spent $1,000 on that card. I see other stuff and I'm like, this Brady Kaboom second year PSA 9 just did 50,000. And I'm not pumping it. I'm not selling the Bill card till he dies. I've been very vocal, but I'm just like, there are so many of these gaps in here. Like the 90s, starting in 93 with the finest Griffey, all the way up through 99 with Griffey in Seattle. How are those cars as a whole? Like, is that kind of your thought now? We're going to see that whole generation of stuff start to rise. Again, not for go out and buy this, but like, that's kind of what my thought is now. Like, I think all that stuff now, people are finally going to start paying attention to.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's not only happening with people who are going back to like 90s stuff, although it certainly is. It's also happening in low population PSA 10s of 1970s Hall of Fame basketball players.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Moses Malone, right?
Moses Malone. Malone went from $12,500 for his PSA 10 Topps rookie, which is like a Pop 40. All right. It's his only rookie card that depicts him by himself. It went from $12,500 in August of last year to selling twice on the same day for $96,000 and $102,000 for an average price of $99,000. So over about a half a year, these sales happened about 2 months ago, over about half a year, Moses Malone's rookie PSA 10 increased by a factor of 8.
That's insane.
Of 8. Because, and I think what's happening, there's just so much, so many high prices for modern players like Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Luka Doncic, et cetera, Zion. You know, when Zion's NTRPA BGS 95 Auto 10, which is a pop one, when that sells for $600,000, right, some people scratch their heads and they say, and I can get Moses Malone, back-to-back MVP, NBA champion, top 15 all-time greatest player.
Yep.
And his rookie card, his PSA 10 is $12,000. Yeah, I'll bid a little more on that. And then all of a sudden, his market's going up eightfold in half a year.
Yeah, like for 600, like for that price range, like you bring up a good comparison with Zion. I don't know if there's a single Griffey card that has ever come close to that. Like off the top of my head, I can't at least think of one.
It does make me wonder though, if this is, if we're stuck in a loop of where this is going to happen continuously. And in a few years, all these cards that are being paid $600,000 for a Luger or whatever the case is, are going to be in the same boat of being valued at less than the Moses Malone or whoever else. Because now the guys who are interested in the hot guy now are now interested in whoever that person's going to be in.
Well, and here's
two, 3 years.
And here's the issue with that. That's why you're right though. Like in 5 years, does anybody with a pulse and any sort of pink substance between their ears think that Zion is going to be on a path to outpace Moses Malone? And Moses Malone is not even cared about in the hobby by and large. But like, if you said in 5 years, who in the NBA is on that type of a path?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Giannis, maybe, and Joker. In 5 years, there's nobody else that comes to my mind like that. Certainly not Zion. I think that's why people are saying, like, dude, I could have any, realistically, I could have any 50 Griffey cards I want that are a handful of pop, or I could buy a Zion.
Yeah.
But it also shows you the gambling mentality in the hobby right now. That is the X factor that can't be quantified. People want to chase.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see. So we talked about it last week on the show or 2 weeks ago. I got my order back from BGS. It was $12 a card. It was from August of 2020. I subbed a Griffey. It was either 97 or 98. It was a finest insert refractor. It was not worth the cost. It was probably a $50 card, but I love that kind of Griffey crap. I don't ever sell anyways. I got it back. What was it? 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
The card's worth, and it came back a BGS 8, which is the equivalent of raw in my book. It's worth $200 to $300 now.
Yep. That's, yep.
But I would spend $300 on that. I am not going out and buying a PSA 10 Prism jaw for the same money, 'cause it would cost me the same. So I guess I do like the fact that we're seeing that kind of rise of that era of stuff. And I also think that's going to become the vintage at some point.
Eventually it's got to, right? I mean, enough time.
It does. But Jesse, I like where your mind's at, man. I'm going to spin it in a positive direction, even though I think the cynicism of like these cards are way overpriced and there's a bubble on some of these modern guys is totally warranted. But here's the other side of the coin is that because there's always new players coming in and there's always excitement for new products and there's always people just seemingly willing to spend more and more, you combine that with the fact that these new guys are constantly trying to carve out their legacy. And mm-hmm. then you get these top 75 lists coming out. And like Moses Malone is ranked ahead of Steph Curry on both ESPN and the Athletics lists. And people like Steph Curry's RPAs are in the millions
yeah.
in gem mint grade or very close to it these days. And Moses Malone's best card, and he only has one rookie card and it can't even crack six figures. So I think there's a dynamism that sports has that no other financial market has, which is you constantly have new storylines, you constantly have new outcomes, new legacies, mm-hmm. people rising, people falling, and it keeps the market fluid.
Well, I think, too, the fact that you have so much media and things that you can grab onto for Steph Curry that you couldn't for Moses, because his time is basically passed. I mean, the fact that you can still have go get a picture of Steph Curry or go watch him play or anything like that. Like there's going to be so many more items that keep him relevant as far as old clips and posters and who knows, movies and things like that.
People imitate point guards.
Exactly.
And nobody's imitating a 7-foot center. Power forward.
So yeah, I think there is some, you know, I do have a skeptical view of certain aspects of the hobby, but I do think there are overall some differences of what we see today versus what we see as the vintage market today versus what the vintage market will look like in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years or something.
Hey, let me jump back to Chris's, because this is the one card I actually wanted to find. The Vlad was cool. Talk about the most crim. And this is I have to start getting this order right. I have to start pumping stuff when I already own it. Because I keep doing this stupid thing where I say on the show what I want to buy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a good price. I want to buy these. Yeah. And then I get contacted the next day. And it's like, hey, by the way, it jumped 30%. Do you still want to buy it? Rafael Devers 2015 Bowman Prospect is literally selling for 12% of Vladimir Guerrero. It's selling for $350 or less, depending on subs, for a 9.5/10. Again, here's the backwards dump pump.
Yeah.
The pump, dump, pump. If you have these cards to sell, I would buy Devers rookie stuff all day. I don't think I own a single Devers rookie card, actually. I'm in on the 2015 stuff. That is just stupid cheap to me. Anyways, more, and then I want to jump into some modern basketball, the playoff hype.
Well, this actually, maybe this goes into, you know what? This is a bigger question, so I'm going to save it till the very end. So go ahead. Mm-hmm. Let's go into basketball. I couldn't help but notice on the index, basketball is still down almost 3% over the last month, with baseball being like really the only thing that has seen positive momentum. Do you think that changes now that we are into the playoff season, or is there something else going on? Because usually this is where we see a lot more trades, buying, selling, things going on like that.
Well, maybe it's just become a zero-sum game in basketball, because if you look at the basketball index over the last year, it's been flat. Mm-hmm. So there's gains in some areas, there's losses in others, and it just sort of evens out. The LeBron James index, which is comprised of nearly 1,000 cards, is down 10% almost over the last 3 months.
It's
very
perform.
Hard
Makes sense.
For an index to go down 10% because of the conservative methodology by which those indexes are calculated. The indexes assume that prices are static until they move. So there's some LeBron cards that just haven't sold yet to bring the index down even further. So the LeBron index is down. The Luka Doncic index is down. Lots of indexes are down right now in basketball, but there's other ones that are doing quite well and that are going up. Joker is somebody who's done it very well. His index
finally.
Giannis has done very well this season. Ja Morant has exploded this season.
Chris hates Ja Morant.
Is that true?
Hey, it does. You guys think Morant? Do you think you get Tim? You guys know Slapstrong Tim.
Oh, we know.
He bet me. Him and I have a wager on each game of the Memphis Timberwolves series. He wanted even odds that the Timberwolves will win more games basically than the Grizzlies. And so even though I hate the Grizzlies, I had to take that bet. I had to take that bet.
Hey, God, he gave himself even odds on the Timberwolves?
Yes.
Does he not know how? Sweet. Sweet kid.
Oh, he's a good guy,
sweet kid. He's sweet.
They're like minus 200 right now. He could have got 2-1 odds.
This is why stopped him before.
This is why Tim is throwing cards at shows at people. Okay, anyways, I want to focus on one of those guys for just a second. Yeah. I actually, and I this is my only somewhat non-boring pick. I think, well, actually, both those players you mentioned, I think Joker is going to beat Golden State.
Ooh.
I don't think it's rational. I think Curry is, I just don't think he's going to be 100%. And I think Joker might ball out. And who knows? I don't think you get anything out of Murray. I don't even know if he's been ruled out now. I know they said it was going to be kind of last minute for any contribution. I think Joker has a chance to win that series.
Let me clarify. Is this like a reverse jinx because you want Curry to win?
No, I want Joker to win. Actually, okay. Like, I have one PSA 10 Prism Joker, the one I bought in Wisconsin for like $1,000. It's worth nothing now, which is fine.
Yep.
And I actually think Memphis is going to win. But that Memphis-Minnesota series was the one I was rooting for. I think it's awesome for the hobby to see Ant and Ja. Because I think Edwards is going to score 35 points in a losing effort. Like, that kid can score. So I think it's great for the hobby.
Yeah, it is. That the Grizzlies, so Christina and I are going to game 3 of Grizzlies Denver at Ball Arena.
Oh,
so
cool.
Hang on, Grizzlies Denver.
I'm
sorry.
Golden State?
Denver Golden State. We're going to Denver Golden State game 3.
In Colorado.
We're picking up a card out there, and it just so happened to coincide with the playoff schedule. And so we're going. So I'm hoping that's going to be a good series, but Golden State, I mean, they're big favorites to win that series as well. And
yep.
Curry is confirmed then. But yeah, I mean, dude, all bets are off if the Nuggets somehow push through that series. And maybe Murray comes back for round 2 then, and you got a whole new Pandora's box there.
Do you have any thoughts about if the market is sustainable right now? Like, as far as the market overall for basketball has been going down pretty consistently since 2021. And we've multiple times said, oh, we're at the bottom. Do you think that we're at the bottom now? I mean, granted, who knows, since we've said it so many times, but looking at like the graphs and things like that, we haven't been, as far as like just sales volume overall for basketball cards, we haven't been this low since mid 2020. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious your thoughts, what you think, where we are in that timeline of the market rising again?
Great question. Well, you know, I think basketball has fought admirably to maintain its market share, even as Topps Chrome F1 has become red hot, even as WWE Prism has come out and set the hobby on fire,
yep.
Even mm-hmm. as Marvel Universe cards and PMGs have ascended and taken a lot of spotlight, and a lot of these damn influencers, don't even get me started on them.
We can.
Pivoted into these alternative genres, you know, whether it's F1, whether it's wrestling, whether it's UFC, I didn't mm-hmm. even mention UFC, whether it's Marvel, these soccer cards to some extent, these emerging sports or categories within the card hobby have taken a lot of the spotlight. They've seen the parabolic gains over the last year or two. But still, basketball treads water, even when all the energy, all the momentum, all the hype is at least temporarily has moved over to these other areas. So for basketball, for football to a lesser extent, baseball to a lesser extent, I think they've done quite a nice job of being held up by people who just love to collect and invest and speculate on the cards, even as all the hype and the focus and the speculation has been on other things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If the spotlight in the hobby ever does come back to the big three, and I think it eventually does, then those sports are going to be well positioned to once again probably have an unsustainable run up in growth and then crash back down again, and we'll land somewhere in the middle.
So I'm curious, and with basketball in mind, obviously the playoffs, I mean, we're just about done with the play-in round. Anybody you think like right now is kind of like, hey, this guy, not for the buy sell advice, but just this market compared to some of these other contemporaries, or this team has a favorable first round matchup, anything kind of jumping off the page because of the numbers?
Well, if you like Joel Embiid.
Oh, I hate him. Oh, God. I don't.
His NT RPA just sold last weekend. His BGS 9.5 Auto 10. True NT out of 99. And like NT for that year looks pretty good in my opinion. And it's preferable to Prism because Prism has all those variations from that year. So like Joel Embiid has 4 different Prism golds. You have photo variation and the base, and then each one has the true gold and the Pulsar. It's very confusing. NT is desirable for that year's rookie class.
Is it 2015?
2014.
14, okay.
2014. Embiid's RPA went for 10 grand last weekend in a gem holder, BGS 9.5 Auto 10. All right. Now, by comparison, Devin Booker is in the 2015 NT rookie class. His BGS 9 Auto 10 sold for 52 grand last month.
What's all Joker do, Chris? Do you know roughly?
Joker doesn't, well, Joker obviously doesn't have an NTRPA, right?
Because
he was drafted in 14, but he didn't even play that season. He played his first season in 15. And because he was a second round pick that nobody cared about, the only NT card he has is a signature card. It's not an RPA. It's not from the base set. So it's, but that card, you know, in a nine grade is about worth maybe 9 or 10 grand.
An Embiid though. The same as a true Embiid 9.5.
Yes. So Embiid, like,
what's the deal? Like, why?
Some people are high on Toronto beating Philadelphia, but if Philadelphia messes around and makes a run, I think Embiid is a recipient of a lot of the hobby love that would flow from something like that.
Do you think it's like
Embiid's
one of those?
Embiid's a guy to keep an eye on.
Is it like the Moses situation when people realize, like, oh, wow, this is criminally undervalued, and then he actually starts doing well or something like that?
Well,
The hot topic is to be like, let's look at the players who are there. And there are some players that are interesting to look at who are like contending right now. But the real big brain, galaxy brain move is to not look at anybody who's relevant at all.
Yeah.
And to go find that other Moses Malone or go find that Ken Griffey Jr. Go find that player who's like maybe not in the spotlight right now. But when the hobby comes back to its senses and the excitement dies down a little bit, oh, this player is going to be, you know, they will regain their place in the hobby hierarchy.
That's crazy.
Like LeBron,
about
honestly.
Embiid. Oof.
So you think LeBron is right now a good investment?
I don't know about, I think that the buying opportunity that exists on LeBron right now is the best it's been in years. How about that?
I guess I'd just be curious if he wouldn't drop some more before the season starts back, but.
That's right. That could happen.
And people hate, that's the other thing too. Like, I've never heard somebody say anything bad about Moses Malone. People hate LeBron. There's so many people
polarizing.
That just hate. Yeah, either you love him or you hate him. It is wild. So.
Chris, thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no. Did you have something to rant on?
Oh, yeah.
These kids.
Here we go.
Let's just talk about these kids because it's actually been hidden in our entire discussion today.
Okay.
Kids. All right. So why are Zion RPA 600 grand? Why are these cards getting so expensive? Look, one of my most cherished desired cards is owned by a kid who I think is 13 years old.
Do you know this kid where he lives? Is that
okay?
Can you imagine being a person in the hobby? You sell off some of your collection, you save up your paychecks for weeks, months, maybe even years. Finally, your grail card comes to auction only to have a 14-year-old outbid you and win your grail card. This might sound crazy. This is happening. You know that Messi, that 2014 Prism Gold Messi PSA 10 that sold for $560,000 with Golden last weekend?
Yep.
That card was won by a kid who is not old enough to legally drive.
This Seriously?
This is a real thing in this hobby.
What?
This is a real
thing. What is your grail card, by the way? What was the card? A McCaffrey?
This same kid also owns a 2015, the Pop 1 2015 Prism Gold Jokic. Pop 1. This kid owns it. I will never be able to get it from this kid. He now owns a 2015 Messi Prism Gold PSA 10. These kids are a problem. They're running this hobby. The kid Illuminati is a real thing. We have to address this.
There's your title of the episode. We hate children.
We hate children, and the kid Illuminati is real.
Hey, one last question. I do want to end. I'll end on this one. The other subject that we talked about this on what's today? Thursday? On Monday's show. The Marvel
collapse?
Crazy parabolic, to use your word, rise, and then just this. So I actually said off air, me and Jesse just bought the box. A listener last week had in the mailbag. It's like, hey, I bought this at the height. He bought a 1990 Marvel box, sealed box. He's like, you know, I bought it at the height. At this point, I'm just going to cut my losses. So he actually reached out. I said, dude, I'll buy it. Like, I just think it's a fun piece of content. We spent $600, which in the grand scheme is a decent price, but we're going to rip it and grade and have fun with it. I am curious though, what fuel was that? I mean, to me, it just looks like crazy market manipulation, largely by alt and their buyers. And then I guess people had said there were some influencers talking. I am to the point where I don't listen to any other podcasts and shows now because I hate people so much. Was there like a big influencer push as well, or was that strictly an alt thing?
no, there were some influencers, but you know, it doesn't take much. Like once people see something going up 5-6x, like people latch onto it, and there are dominoes fall, ripple effects happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, not casting aspersions, but Steve Aoki was a huge buyer.
Right.
Of the Marvel cards.
He bought the whole set, right?
Yeah, he bought the whole set.
For
exactly.
What?
It was like 200 or 220, I think.
I think it was like 240, and then the whole set just closed for like 60. Like same thing, like 75% loss.
Yep.
But and that so wasn't his maybe set, right?
Maybe it goes back up again. Who knows, right? But like if one thing we can say for sure, it went up way too much, way too fast.
Yeah. But well, that, now just to clarify too, that wasn't Steve selling his set at Golden, right? That was just another set that sold, correct?
I don't know, but I believe be very it was. Surprised. I don't think Steve has any intent of selling.
Okay, that's
and to be clear too, while his weren't all tens, neither was that set. So
yeah, they were comparable.
They were comparable, but we don't know exactly what they. Maybe there were some cards. The more desirable ones could have been graded higher. So I do think there would need to be more research done into that comparison, because if there is like a really rare card that has like it was like an 8 or 9, and the rare version in the other set was like a 6 or 7, then yeah, maybe there are some reasons why there was such a big price.
But the difference. Rest of the market is also down 75%.
I agree. I'm not saying that's not why, but I just.
So we hate kids and we hate influencers. Well, Ronick, update the
it
title.
It could be the kids that are buying these cards, you know? They love Marvel.
They weren't
stuff.
Even alive in 2013. All right, that's enough. We're done here. So that is Chris from Card Ladder. Again, sportscardsnonsense.com. There's the Card Ladder link. You can save 15%. Best place to track your collection.
Card
it's like
services.
An ad read, by the way.
Check it
what
out.
What's going on here? I'm done. I'm not going to say another nice thing about anybody. Chris.
Tell Christina and Joshua said, hey.
Oh, you know what? Last question. Are you taking your Mavs to win first round? Are you riding with the donkey? I've got Utah, by the way.
If the donkey doesn't play, then no. But if he only misses 2 games, like let's say he misses the first 2 home games in Dallas and then he's back, I'll take him in 7.
All right.
You're all wrong. It's Chicago Bulls all the way.
Oh, God. Lord. Are they even going to win a game?
No, they're
well,
garbage.
You're going to find out.
Cool. Chris, thank you for the time, buddy. We'll catch up with you, I guess, middle of May now because we push this thing back. Market report, May market report, live from Fenway next month.
Two. That's hot. That's hot.
Are you going to that show?
I don't know. Maybe I need to if you guys are going to be there.
I'm going. Jesse's on the fence.
We'll see.
What's wrong, Jesse? Are you still recovering after you got everybody sick at the men's?
I didn't do that. Someone got me sick.
We both tested negative. We were some of the only people who didn't get sick.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know why? Because I sanitize and I get made fun of for it. I have my wipes and I have my mask and I have my sanitizer.
That's
Let
true.
No and person ever make fun of you for wiping too much. That's never a bad
in any set in any setting or sitting. That's correct.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good day, Chris.
See you guys.
Bye. I don't know. I feel like this episode's a little bit of a hodgepodge.
It is.
I don't. And here's the thing. There was actually some preparation done, which kind of stinks. It doesn't feel like that, though. Guys, bear with us. Thank you so much. All right.
Tyler, that was your Chris interview. Now we're doing mailbag.
Tyler Rodriguez from the Facebook.
Tyrod.
Buy one, sell one, hold one.
Okay.
Tatis Acuna Vlad.
Just because he's cheaper than the other guys and I think is going to be as relevant, if not more, buy Vlad, hold Acuna, sell Tatis.
Fair enough.
You could say that in any order. I don't think it's wrong. It's like they're so close, it's ridiculous.
Mark Haller, what is the best way to go about grading Marvel? I have large amounts of 1990 that can fetch a good amount of money with PSA 9s and 10s.
Okay.
But the grading price is not there for a good turnaround. Do you sit on this until prices drop, go with SGC, go with another company, or sell raw?
So I would tell you right now, me and Jesse are going to rip a box of this. We talked about it with Chris. Hopefully it'll be here today or tomorrow. I'm going SGC with everything, I think, just because of the grading cost and the return time. I'm grading everything with SGC.
Eric, my money, please. Money, please. That's actually his last name on here. I'm sure it's not real, but if it were, it'd be cool.
Get a grip, Eric.
Eric with a K. To expand on BGS grading, I understand a min gem, true gem, and true gem plus. What do you consider a card with subgrades of 10, 10, 10, 8.5, or... 10, 9, 5, 9, 5, 9. Both are considered gem mint.
So none of real quick, here's the answer. There's no specific name for those. They're just gem mint cards. There's no specific like gem mint plus. No, they're just abnormal. The triple 10 is weird though. Triple 10, 8, 5. Mm-hmm. If all of your grades are one full subgrade higher,
mm-hmm.
then it can be a gem mint. Otherwise, that's the only way you can have an 8, 5 sub on a 9, 5 overall card is 3 10s and an 8, 5.
That is good to know. Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I'm going
to
give you a quick recap, by the way. I just finished it. So we just ripped a box of Clearly that was very underwhelming. The Saint Brown is the purple parallel. It's like $15. Mm-hmm. Najee Harris is about $5. The Jalen Waddle's $5, so it's $25. The Terry and the rest of the base, another $5, that's $30. The Mac Jones is $25, that's $55. The Rondell Moore is $30. $85, not great. We're going to grade at least the one, maybe the two cards.
Okay.
There you go.
That's not a capital nonsense segment.
No, it's just for fun. Like, I just want to rip it. I love that product. So okay. I want to rip it on the pod because I talked about it on the pod.
You know, it's nice when you still have fun ripping product and it's not just for the show.
Ripping product.
Ethan. Ethan Schenck. Oh, you got to stop. Kay. You got to stop.
Done.
Ethan Schenck. What is the best sealed wax?
You gotta stop.
What's the best sealed wax to invest in right now? If you had to buy them at current prices, what is something that you guys think will still have lots of room to grow?
Yeah, in general, 2020 and 2021 football, because I think this class is going to be so underwhelming, especially early. You'll get some guys who stand out, but I don't know if there's a first round quarterback. So I think what happens then is people who get in the custom of, hey, it's football time, I want to rip football. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at past seasons. I would say look for outliers. I'm not trying to pump up this product more because I'm not selling right now, but Clearly Authentic is a good example of an outlier. Other products that to me are not as good are outselling it right now. Why is that? Simply because it's a new product and it came out after the season. So go back and look through like, hey, this box, all these boxes are averaging X amount of dollars. There's a couple that are way cheaper and have similar hits. But those are the 2 years I would really focus on.
Do you still have any of that 2020 contenders?
No, I sold. Contenders and Prism I sold during the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think I got like 30,000 for the Prism, and Contenders was like 86 or 8,800.
Yeah. I sold two. Killed it. Obviously. I'm really happy for you though. Mm-hmm. But it's now going for almost 12,000, the Contenders.
On blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not, you couldn't actually sell it for that.
Yeah. But right, you could probably get at least 10 for it, I would think.
Maybe.
Back to mailbag.
Okay.
Adam, I asked Ethan's question. Thank you,
good,
Ethan.
Good.
Adam Corey, can you outline when you feel is best to sell top prospect cards?
Yep.
J-Rod, Torque, Witt.
Yeah, in general, the hype of somebody coming into the season, if they're going to be promoted mid-season, is huge. It's almost better to sell the hype than the actual on-field. Some of those guys, though, it's different. Like Bobby Witt, J-Rod started the season up.
Mm-hmm.
I know guys are going to be like, oh, you shouldn't. I'm always a little conservative. Bobby Witt has had a crazy hot start and his pricing has been insane. I would sell Witt right now. Because I think at some point we saw this with Wander. We see with almost everybody, even if they're legit, there's like a dip after this initial craze. So if they're starting the year in, when they start to perform and their prices jump, I sell. If they're in the minors, as soon as you start hearing talk of promotion, I would sell before they even get promoted.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
Min Vong, with how hot WWE Prism has been in the most, with most sites selling out as soon as they restock, do you think it's worth grading the base cards, especially the rookies and some of the legends like Hogan, Rock, etc.?
So base in general, no. Gable Stevenson was like the big rookie, and we pulled the other one, Bron Breaker, whatever.
Yeah,
I would grade the rookies, base rookies.
Not like the Hogan or the...
I don't know. Because I don't know if those are just in the set period.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're... So I'm not sure. I mean, a couple of years ago, I would have been like, yeah, grade it all and sell it.
I mean, with the fact that you can do SGC grades for $25 or something.
$23 through Nash cards.
Yeah, $23 through Nash cards.
I mean, you could take a shot, but I wouldn't PSA it for $50. I think it's going to kill your profit no matter what. So yeah, maybe it's worth a shot. I don't know enough about it. I'm sorry.
And I'd be surprised if we don't start seeing some of those hit the market here soon, though. I'm sure
it's also first year, so maybe there is that bump that's coming. So yeah, maybe.
David Owen, can you give one vintage player from MLB, NBA, and NFL who you think is undervalued?
This is the most boring take of all time. I say the same three every time. Bill Russell, Willie Mays, Jim Brown. Of the three, Jim Brown, because it's football and vintage doesn't get nearly the respect. But yeah, crazy underrated.
And are you invested in all three of those?
I have rookies of every one of those guys. Yeah. I have probably 60 to 70,000 tied up in Willie. Rookies, his 51 Bowman, his 52 Tops. Jim Brown, the cheapest. I have one rookie as a PSA 5. It's worth like $3,000, $3,500. I'm always looking to buy Jim Brown. I can never find him. Bill Russell, again, his prices are way, way down from his high. I've got a PSA 4 and a PSA 8OC. I'm going to try to cross that PSA 8OC to like an SGC 7 if it would cross. So I probably have 30,000 in bill. But yeah, I think they're all of the buys though. Mm-hmm. I mean, Willie's finally getting some traction. I think Jim Brown is the best buy of any of those guys. I also think Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw.
I have a question for you. If you were to sell all of your memorabilia, all you hated, you sports hurt you.
Cards and memorabilia, sell it all.
Sell it all. What do you think it's worth?
I mean, like, so my card ladder collection right now is like $300 to $350, but there's a ton of stuff that's not in there because I've never.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got a lot in cases. I think conservative. I mean, without me going back through conservatively, I think $700 to $800.
That's insane. I mean, I and
there's a lot of you know what's crazy. That high. There's I was gonna say there's a lot of guys in the industry though who have one card worth more than that. I'm not crazy heavily invested in stuff. Not my net worth is fractionally. I've told you this from the beginning. I was never gonna tie up the majority of my money in cards. Here's even though thing. I've made a lot of
you
money.
You know
in cards.
That sounds like a brag, like kind of like a.
Oh,
like
I actually mean it comment. The other way because like if you talk to big collectors,
mm-hmm.
Hey, here's one card worth more than everything I own.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I mean. So I didn't mean it to brag like that. I never wanted my money tied up in this stuff because I also get emotionally attached to it.
That is true.
So yeah, I actually didn't mean that to brag. Like I think there's a lot of guys with, and
that's
now
why I pointed it out.
What's so insane is there's guys with collections worth, like Chris was talking about, there's teenagers. That Lionel Messi card is worth almost as much as all my stuff. Here's, a 16-year-old owns that.
Here's what I don't understand is how there are so many card shops out there who don't have better security because the amount of money sitting in some of these card shops yep. is absolutely insane. And I feel for them whenever you hear about like break-ins and stuff like that. I just think those have got to be more like banks than anything with the they amount of be. Money they've got.
I also think it's crazy. You talk to some of these people in the industry and they're, you know, they have cards and they have a great car and they live in like, they have, what do you have in the bank? Nothing. What are your investments? Nothing. You own any property? I rent. It's like, what are you doing? Like you're card rich and you're just stupid.
Got to diversify. That's a fact. Steve Kabetznik.
Steve Aoki?
Is the Jason Alexander National Treasures patch card more desirable, number 7 out of 99, since George Costanza's firstborn child was going to be named 7? I hope it is.
I do too.
I really hope that's the case.
What are those cards? I wonder what those sell for now. Remember they hit $2,000?
I
can look it up while you read. Yeah, you look.
I want to find out.
I would be super curious because I'd love to buy that card.
Johnny F.
EFF, his last name. I know this guy.
Oh, okay.
I know him on Facebook, actually. I like him.
Are you guys planning any other road trips, perhaps this June, perhaps to Canada's version of the National?
I can tell you right now, I'm never planning on going to Canada for any reason.
I got to get my passport updated. What if I did want to go to Canada?
So right now, our show plans are as follows. May 14th and 15th in Fenway. At least one, maybe the whole team. We'll see.
Yep.
And by the way, that National Treasures Costanza card is like $600 right now. So it's actually still a ton
of
money.
I'm glad it's above 500.
Yeah, that's great. So Fenway, May 14th, May 15th, and the National in Atlantic City. Nothing else planned as of yet.
Yeah.
I got to go back to Boston next weekend anyways. We've been traveling a lot for other reasons. So
we didn't talk about it. Did you want to bring it up?
I thought about it. I was like, I might start crying. So no, okay. I have no reason to talk about it.
All right. Greg Lance Todd.
My grandmother died.
I tried to segue.
I got the call
so
yesterday
fast.
From my mom. Yep. She went peacefully. She was 98. I'll tell you why it didn't hurt me as much as others is I got to see her.
You just had got
I
to not, see her. Yeah.
Had I not got up last week,
you know,
I would have been crushed.
I'm not pulling the move that we did with my dad when he had the heart attack. I'm being a gentleman.
Okay, your dad didn't
being
die.
Respectful.
It's not even comparable.
That was a serious thing.
You want to have a serious talk? Call me when Mark dies. Then we'll talk. How about that?
He'll never die. He's going to live forever.
Grammy was 98 years old. Fun fact, though, a lot of what got me into the hobby, my grandparents lived on 18th Ave. I would walk to a card shop that was about 5 blocks away. Not mm-hmm. even. Comic Book Palace, which I don't even know if it's still alive.
Shout out to Comic Book Palace.
I don't know if it's still open, still alive, whatever. But that's where I started collecting cards in Haverhill, Massachusetts when I was a wee kid.
If you cry, I'll punch you in the face.
That would be totally Stop acceptable. Yeah, I remember though, like even as a kid being like, man, I wish I had more money. And they always had some money, but they weren't like loaded by any means. But I was like, can I just
they
have
had a
couple?
Pool.
Yeah, I was like, can I just have a couple dollars to get a pack of cards? I remember my grandpa like, you know what? No. Like, if you want to go work for it, I'll give you like, I remember sweeping the whole deck in something one time and I got like $1.50.
Dang.
And I was just like, that's it. And that was his thing though. Like, say what you want. People from that generation, I love it. He was like, you want to make money? Go make money. Like, I'm not paying you to do stuff I can do myself.
When do we get the full episode of the stories of
I thought about going live the other day and talking, but I was like, I don't.
It's probably best.
Well, I was just sitting in a chair, like, crying by myself. Sure. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go live and talk about this. I want that to be the exit music today, Ronick. Don't blow it. My grandmother.
Just cut back to that scene.
So yeah, we'll go the funeral is next weekend. We'll go back up.
And if you guys don't know this already, the National, it's not going to be just me and Gio. It's going to be the whole family, the whole Gio fam's coming.
As it is every year. I thought you were going to say, if you're dying to go to Atlantic City, that's your transition.
I wouldn't have said that though.
No.
So that'll be fun. I think your dad's going to get plenty of autograph opportunities.
I'm leaving next Wednesday, so I'll have to do the pod remote with you. Okay. And we'll fly up for the funeral.
I'm also going to be gone on Thursday, but we'll knock it out first.
I have so many cousins and what's your cousin's kids? Are those second cousins?
Yeah.
That I have never met. My mom is one of 10 from that grandmother.
That's right.
There, I think there's 25 and 23 grandkids and great grandkids.
That's going to be a big funeral.
It's insane. That's the only good that comes about. You actually get to see a bunch of family. So one or two more. We've been going for
a while. John Boren wants to
know. I don't
want
to talk about anything else, actually. We're good. I'm ending
on
that.
You just want to end it on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
Grammy was great. She just about raised me, her and my grandfather. We lived with them for many years. I was very, very sad, but I was very excited to see them. And she went in her sleep. Very peaceful.
So oh, that's awesome.
Couldn't get mad about that. So there you go. A little realism at the end of this podcast. You tuned in for cards. You're ending with that.
I was going to end it with like a sound effect.
No, I think we're good.
Like a boing.
I think we're good on that one.
All right.
There you go. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. Thank you for Jesse for being here. I won't do it again. Thank you to Chris from Card Ladder, Ronick, everybody else. Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. We will be back Monday with Chris Costa from Big Night Breaks and the Card Vault. And thank we'll you. See you then.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.